there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined, as always, by Pat Fitzmorris at Fitz_FF on the Twitter machine. And today, we are here to not be haters. We're here to promote some of these guys, tell you about 15 undervalued players right now that we think it would be a good idea if you at least went and tested the waters on these guys to see if they are available in your league. Fitz, I find it way easier to be a hater. So it's a little harder to go out on a limb for people. But I think I found some good names. Are you feeling good about the names you picked?
I am, Boggs. And we get to spread positivity on this show after, you know, the negativity of last week's episode. So this time we get to say good things about people.
Yeah. You know, it does feel better to say nice things, but like I said, always easier to be a hater, of course, but let's dive in. We've got some quarterbacks. I think we have the position we have the most of is wide receivers and then one tight end at the end, but a couple quarterbacks to start us off, Fitz. So who is the quarterback right now that you think is underrated?
Yeah, so it's Trey Lance, Boggs, and I'm going to once again try to make the case for Trey Lance. I know at this point a lot of people are just like, oh, would you shut up about Trey Lance already, and are just totally out. I just grabbed him at 701 in a startup dynasty draft, the King's Classic dynasty draft. And so he's going to be my third quarterback there. Like I've got Patrick Mahomes, and I've got a rookie pick that's going to become Bryce Young. So like at this point, there's not a lot of pressure for Trey Lance to, you know, automatically be a stud for me. But that's the good thing, man. He's gotten so cheap and I understand it. We're now 2 years into his NFL career and there's just so little to go on still. I mean, the price is way down and there's a reason for it. He's made four NFL starts in 2021. They were going to bring him along slowly. He broke his finger on his throwing hand, index finger in the preseason. And that kind of messed up with his mechanics a little. And then, of course, last year, the broken ankle after two starts. So now we have him coming into this year where he's got this ambiguous role. We don't know if it's going to be Brock Purdy or Sam Darnold or Trey Lance. And despite the fact that the 49ers spent so much to get Trey Lance, giving up multiple first-round picks to move into the number three spot and take him, it seems like they're almost putting their thumb on the scale for Purdy. But man, Boggs, I'm just not a Purdy believer. And like, if you look at his schedule last year, like he made, I think six starts. Hold on. I've got the notes here. It was, so Purdy had five regular season starts plus a game where he came in really early after Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, plus a couple of playoff starts. In the first seven starts, he didn't face a defense that ranked better than 13th in DVOA against the pass. So it was a lot of pretty soft matchups. Then he goes in against the Cowboys in his second playoff spot, second playoff start. No touchdown passes, 214 yards, just kind of looked pedestrian. And I think he's just a guy, Boggs. So I think it's going to be Lance, who in his four starts, or I should say three starts, because he got hurt early in the one where he broke his ankle, has averaged 58 rushing yards. We know he's going to move the needle with his running and with his passing. I don't know if you saw the video from OTA's, Boggs, but like his mechanics look a lot better now. Like they have cleaned him up. He's been working with Patrick Mahomes, quarterback coach. So like I'm optimistic that we finally get something out of Trey Lance in year three.
I completely agree with you. And honestly, I had Trey Lance as my quarterback to start, and I switched off of it. But yeah, I mean, right now in Dynasty ECR, he is QB 21. So he is, you know, we're talking about the bottom end of QB twos and super flex, right? And I think with a guy with this much potential that can run the way he can, I think you at least have to give it a shot. I mean, you know, I don't know if Brock Purdy is going to be, you know, they say he's going to be starting to throw next week. I don't know, you know, how much of that is true. We've heard all kinds of he'll be ready for week one. There's no way he'll be ready for week one. Like it's been all over the place. I think that there's probably a little bit of fire to the smoke where, you know, Kyle Shanahan does not like Trey Lance, whatever it is. You know, he wanted Mac Jones, and now that Brock Purdy was good at the end of the year, he wants Brock to win this job. But I think for the potential for this team is, you know, a quarterback away. They have been for a little bit here, and I think Trey Lance could be the guy. So I think this is probably his value is going to go one way or the other pretty big this year, right? Like it's either going to skyrocket and he's going to be worth way more than he is right now, or it's going to sink like a stone because Brock Purdy took the job. So I think if you can buy him now, this is kind of like the last chance to get a cheap ticket to this ride. So, or the ride is going to be featured at your local carnival next year for free. So it's like, it's one of those two. You got to get in or get out pretty quick on Trey Lance. So I am with you. Before we go to my quarterback that I'm going to talk about here, let me tell you guys about Reality Sports Online. By now, most of you have probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about: free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. I think it sounds complicated. It is not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for free, FREE, in a mock. If you like what you see, use a promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at Reality Sports Online. com. I'm going to go down to, I guess coming up from where you were, my guy is the 16th quarterback in Dynasty ECR so far in this offseason. I have him at number 11. I'm going to go with Danny Dimes. And I know that Daniel Jones does not inspire a lot of love, right? We've seen him trip over his own feet. He's had a lot of turnover worthy plays in his career. But I think there's a couple things here. Number one, we have not seen the best of Daniel Jones yet, right? Like they haven't put a full great supporting cast around him. It's been Saquon and a bunch of kind of Jags at wide receiver. I mean, obviously these guys are great, but they're not in terms of NFL standards, they're subpar, right? It's Isaiah Hodgins. It's the ghost of Sterling Shepard. You know, it's Richie James. It's Darius Slayton, guys like that. Well, they added him two weapons this offseason. They got Darren Waller, who, of course, there's questions about his health and everything, and went and drafted Jalin Hyatt, who I'm a big fan of, and we'll talk about a little bit later in this show. But Fitzy, I don't know if you realize this, like 700-yard rushing seasons for QBs, kind of a benchmark, and there were five last season, right? Last year we saw It was, of course, Justin Fields with over 1,000 yards. Lamar Jackson had 700. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Daniel Jones just crossed 700, 703. But in the 11 seasons previous to 2022, there had been 10 total, 10 700-yard rushing seasons in the NFL. It was Lamar has done it four times. Josh Allen has done it twice. Jalen has done it twice. Cam Newton did it twice. Kyler and Fields both once apiece. So that 700-yard rushing marker for a QB is pretty big. And we know that he can do it, specifically working in RPOs with Saquon. So he's got tons of rushing upside. We definitely have not seen him with a full array of wide receivers. Probably still won't this year, but they should get better. And he was number one in PFF's adjusted completion percentage last season as well. And, you know, we've seen videos of, you know, the guys can't even get his attention on the plane because he's already doing prep work for the next game on the plane, right? So, like, this is a hardworking dude that keeps getting better. You're adding some weapons around him and one of the best rushing QBs in the NFL, completely underrated from that perspective. I think he's a QB1. That's why I have him at 11. And I'll take a guy with rushing upside as a mid QB2 right now. I think you're probably going to get a pretty good deal on him.
Is that mixed in with the rookies, Boggs, QB11? Like, do you have Stroud?
Yes.
And where do you have him ahead of Bryce Young and CJ Stroud?
I do, but I have him below Anthony Richardson.
Okay. Yeah. So
I got Richardson at 10.
I've got him below all those guys. I think I've got him at QB16. But I'm generally pretty much in agreement with your assessment of him. Like, he does move the needle with his running ability. I love what Brian Daboll did for him. I mean, and that was really the big issue for him, that he was so turnover prone early in his career. And last year, I believe he led the NFL in interception percentage. Like, he had the lowest interception percentage.
It was like 1.1. He threw 15 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Yep. Didn't have an egregious number of fumbles last year. He just got so much better at taking care of the ball. And he still didn't have a lot of firepower with his pass catchers. I mean, adding Waller is going to help, assuming Waller can stay healthy. And although they might not have like any sort of star caliber wide receiver, they at least have quantity, man. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yes. They can't even keep all these guys. They've got so many, you know, with Hodgins and Slayton and Hyatt and Wandale Robinson Shepard.
Paris Campbell they signed.
Campbell, yeah. So at least they're going to be able to withstand injuries and still be able to put credible NFL wide receivers on the field this year, which was kind of an issue for them last year. So, like, I'm optimistic. I like the Dable Jones pairing. It's worked really well so far. I don't know if he has greatness in him, but I think he can be a really solid NFL quarterback who adds and is like probably a better fantasy quarterback than real life quarterback because of the running ability.
Right. Yeah. The running ability, that, I mean, that's really the selling point to me is, you know, I think the running ability is there. We see it. Not many guys with 700 yard seasons. Right. I think Russell only did it once in his career. I mean, he was 850. Russell did it, I think, maybe only once or twice. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, a lot to go on here for Danny Dimes. And like you said, may not have the most upside of any QB, but the floor is pretty high for him, especially if those wide receivers get better. So let's go to running backs here. And I love this first one that you have, Fitz, at coming in at ECR number 22 in Dynasty.
Well, I'm glad you love it, Boggs, because I don't think everyone does. And this is another kind of polarizing guy I'm going to throw out here. It's Cam Akers. And it's funny, I just saw Evan Silva of Establish the Run the other day. We got to hang out a little bit, and somehow Cam Akers came up in conversation. I think I asked Evan about him, and he made like a crinkly face. He's not that into him. And I was really impressed by Akers down the stretch last year. I mean, he was the NFL rushing leader over the last 6 weeks of the 2022 regular season and ranked RB4 in, I guess that was half point PPR scoring, but, you know, in PPR, I think he was top five too. He had more than 100 rushing yards in each of his last three games. And Akers just does not have that much competition in the Rams backfield. I know some people like Zach Evans and think that he is some sort of existential threat to Akers' role, but I mean, Evans was a late sixth round pick, and we know what the hit rate is on late sixth round running backs in the NFL draft. It's not very good. And plus, we're talking about a guy who lost his job to a freshman at Ole Miss last year. So, I mean, I like Evans.
Judkins is pretty good.
Quinshon Judkins is very good. But I do think Evans, you know, is better than the typical sixth round running back, but I really don't think he's going to pose a threat to Akers' job security. And if Rams coach Sean McVay leans on Akers the way he leaned on Todd Gurley just a few years ago, Akers is going to have a big year. And actually, he's kind of set up for a big year because the Rams' schedule is littered with teams that were mediocre against the run last season. I mean, like, I'm not a big schedule analysis guy as far as looking ahead, like, oh, you got to get this guy, he's got a soft schedule. But things are set up pretty nicely for him, including having Seattle and Arizona in his division, which were two of the worst run defenses in the league by far last year. So, I mean, right up there or right down there with the Texans.
Yeah. And speaking of schedule and things like that, you know, I just wrote up team defenses for the Black Book and IDPs for the Black Book as well. So I've been big on the defensive side of the ball. And if you're the Rams, you are going to need to bleed the clock and run the ball a bunch because that defense is awful. It's Aaron Donald, Ernest Jones, and a bunch of scrubs. They traded Ramsey. They didn't re-sign anybody. They had no money. I mean, you know, they cut Bobby Wagner. It's Ernest Jones and Christian Roseboom, who has like 10 snaps in the NFL, are their starting linebackers. So you need to bleed that clock. You need to lean on the run. So it wouldn't be crazy to see Cam Akers and Zach Evans have some success against a soft run schedule. But like you said, I'm not a big schedule guy either because, you know, the Dolphins lose Christian Wilkins for the year and they're a completely different defense. You know what I mean? So like getting too ahead of it, you know, is a little silly in my opinion, but I think they need to lean on Cam Akers.
Yeah. And let me just slip in one last point. Just like when he came back, so Akers tore his Achilles in the 2021 preseason and then like made that miraculous comeback where he was back for like the final regular season game. And they pretty much gave him the backfield for the playoffs, which I thought was really exciting. Yes, he did not look like you know, quite the same guy in the playoffs, but I thought it was really encouraging that he came back. I thought he'd be full go last year. And I don't know if that was part of the problem. He had that weird kind of team estrangement for a while where he and McVay weren't quite seeing eye to eye.
I think that's his biggest threat, Fitz, is right there, is his attitude. I think that's the biggest threat to his job. It's not Zach Evans, it's him.
But clearly they had some sort of reconciliation because he was back at the end of the year and was clearly the guy for McVay and performed well. So I'm hoping that with the Achilles injury, it'll be two full years behind him by the time he takes the field for week one. So I'm hoping that he's back physically to being the guy he was when he came into the league or really close to it. I mean, I don't know if you can ever get back to 100% of what you were after an Achilles tear, but I think you can come pretty close. I mean, we've seen guys like Deonta Foreman, you know, be pretty impactful after having that injury. And I think Akers can too.
And sometimes like with Foreman, it was like he came back and he was not the same guy. It was pretty clear. And then he kind of got forgot about for a couple seasons. And then now it seems like fully removed from this Achilles surgery, he's a much better player now, right? So, and I think that could happen with Akers too. And maybe it doesn't take him as long because he's already, this is a guy that we've been waiting on to have in a big explosive season since he was in college. Like he went to Florida State as the number one running back recruit in the nation, played behind one of the worst offensive lines in college football that I've ever seen and still put up some big years and then got drafted in the NFL. We all thought, well, this guy's going to be a better pro than, you know, a college player because of the circumstance of Florida State with the bad offense, bad QB, bad coach, bad offensive line. And he showed it his rookie season and then injuries and, you know, self-inflicted wounds this past year. But I think you're right. I think he's a little tarnished right now because of the injury and the attitude stuff, and you can get him for cheaper than he should be. So I like that one, Fitz. I'm going to stick a running back. I'll go with Derrick Henry. And look, Derrick Henry right now is Dynasty ECR running back number 18. And I know this is a short window thing for me, Fitz, that most people don't particularly like. And Derrick Henry has had an injured season before, but this dude is a freak in nature. He's still under 30 years old. And what do you do on offense when you have three not ready options at QB and a defense that is, you know, rebuilding, we'll say, to be nice here, Fitz, and not be insulting. So you run the ball. Derrick Henry is the offense in Tennessee. We all know that. I am not threatened by Tyjae Spears at all eating into Derrick Henry's work. It's still going to be Derrick Henry by a mile over everyone else in that offense. And, you know, maybe it's only two really good seasons left, but this dude's a freak. Maybe it's four. Maybe it's four and a half, and bad old Derrick Henry is still probably better than a lot of those low-end RB2s, which is what he seems to be slipping behind. So I think you might still be able to get a prime season or two, maybe three, out of Derrick Henry. And because he's had a lot of carries, because he's had an injury in the previous season, I think that the shine is coming off of him a little bit. But I still think he's a league winner for at least the next two seasons, Fitz. And I think he's being underrated right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's all circumstantial, Boggs. Like, what is the position of your dynasty team? Are you in right. championship chasing mode? If you are, then Derrick Henry should absolutely interest you. And if he is on the roster of a team that's not ready to contend this year, you should absolutely go out and get him. And I mean, like, I'm cautiously optimistic about his outlook for this year. I mean, one of the things that kind of terrifies me is the way the Titans offensive line just went to hell last year. I mean, it got really bad. So that's kind of one issue. And just, I agree that if you have a bad defense, you want to run the ball and keep your bad defense off the field. But then too often, you know, you fall behind and that takes you out of run mode. So I don't know if Derrick Henry is maybe going to have quite the same volume of carries, even if he stays healthy. Like, he might just not be able to run as much because they're in catch-up mode a little bit. But I do think that is the plan, to give Derrick Henry, you know, pretty much all he can eat as far as carries, like same as it ever was in Tennessee. So yes, I mean, like, he is appealing from that perspective. And in Dynasty, obviously the price is not what it is in redraft. So if you're a contending team, I agree. He's definitely someone you should be looking at possibly trying to acquire.
I mean, he's one spot ahead of Rashad White, which is surprising to me. He's behind J.K. Dobbins and Damian Pierce. I think, you know, you can make a case for Javonte even coming off the injury, because Javonte's so much younger. Nick Chubb is better. So I would probably stick with Nick Chubb there. But like Ramondre Stevenson, I mean, we talked a lot about the Patriots potentially drafting Bijan, and they'd love to rotate RBs. So I was just a little surprised by a couple of the names, at least, that were ahead of Derrick Henry. So I feel like, you know, if you can trade him for a late first round pick next year, that's something that I would definitely do, because I think he's got at least two more seasons.
I'm not giving up a 2024 first, Boggs. Not for a lottery ticket in next year's class. I mean, it's just, you know, we got iconic.
That's fair.
We got some iconic dudes coming into the league, possibly with Marvin Harrison, Caleb Williams, Brock Bowers. You know, like, I just can't give up a chance.
Guys are all going to go in the top seven, Fitz.
They are. Like, I mean,
those guys aren't getting past seven. So if you can get 9, 10, 11, if you can get them for 9, 10, 11, 12, that's where the sweet spot is.
Yeah, but the thing, I mean, like, if you're getting him, the guys who are going to be picking at the end of the first round next year, those guys are contending. Those are the guys who aren't giving up Derrick Henry. You know what I mean?
Like, hey, what's one in the hand worth, Fitz? Two in the bush,
yeah,
right?
True.
True. One in the hand. That this is a top 10 RB in the NFL still, in my opinion. So, you know, I still think he's got not a top 10 offense. Obviously, a lot has changed. But if, you know, Ryan Tannehill takes a little click, you know, forward, then now this team is back to being pretty solid. Maybe getting Harold Landry helps pace that defense a little bit. And three new offensive linemen. They got Dillard. They went out and drafted Peter Skoronski, and they added Dane Brunskill. So I think,
I mean, Dillard's,
I don't think the Titans can be as bad as they were last
year. Dillard's more a pass blocker than a run blocker, but I agree it's going to help. Like, they did upgrade the offensive line. And Bugs, just to clear, I guess if you are a contending team and you're giving up a 2024 first for Henry, like, you got to be pretty sold. Like, that is all well and good if you do, in fact, finish one of the, you know, with one of the three best records or whatever, and that pick you're giving away winds up being 110, 111, or 112. But man, if you miscalculate and fall in your face, and the guy that you give up for Derrick Henry, that pick turns out to be Marvin Harrison Jr., you are going to have some egg on your face, man.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. But I'm still rocking with Derrick Henry. That's the point here. So let's go down a little bit to your running back here. And I love this one. This is another guy that was in consideration for my list, Fitz.
Yeah, and this can be kind of a quick one, Boggs, because there's not much to go on. But in the sleeper category, I like Jerome Ford of the Browns. And it's, you know, the Browns are not expected to re-sign Kareem Hunt. Reportedly, the team thinks he may have lost a step. I can't remember where I read that, but someone had mentioned that. And D'Ernest Johnson is gone. So Jerome Ford is the clear backup to Nick Chubb. And as of now, that, I mean, there is no one who's going to challenge him. It is like Demetric Felton, John Kelly, and some other real jobbers in that backfield right now. So, and look, Jerome Ford is a guy who ran for 1,300 yards and scored 20 touchdowns in his final season at Cincinnati. Went to Alabama initially as like a four-star recruit, but just ran into that logjam with, Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris, Najee Harris. Yeah, like he was totally logjam there. So, you know, he wisely transferred, wound up at Cincinnati, and had a really nice final season. 5'11", 210, 4.46 speed. I think that gives him like an 87th percentile speed score, according to playerprofiler.com. And the dude has some power. Like, he's going to run through arm tackle. So this is a potentially useful asset who can be acquired very inexpensively right now.
I mean, he is free, Fitz.
Yeah.
Let's not mince words here. Dynasty ECR of 68 right now. I mean, that is behind James Robinson, Gus Edwards, Cordero Patterson, Chuba Hubbard, Raheem Mostert, Kareem Hunt, who's not even on a team, Leonard Fournette, Zeke, who's not even on a team, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Deontay Foreman, Abanikanda is going ahead.
Cordero Patterson, do people realize the Falcons drafted Bijan Robinson and that Cordero Patterson is like 47?
And Tyler Algier's ahead of him.
Right.
So, like, yeah, he's buried. So, and Jerome Ford has opportunity. You know, Nick Chubb hurts his knee or foot or misses a game. Jerome Ford is your guy now. So, yes, I mean, I think this is a great one. Like I said, I considered putting him on there, but I'm glad that you had him on the list here just to bring a little light to his name, because I think that's a good one. Before we go to my next running back, I got to tell you guys about the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Draft Kit at fantasypros.com/dynasty. Go there and check out must-have resources like Dynasty Rookie and Startup Rankings, Trade Targets, Position Primers, and Thorough Rookie Profiles, all at no cost. If you're a premium subscriber, you'll unlock exclusive strategy articles and full access to our Discord community, where you can interact with our analysts via AMAs and stages. Jump in now at fantasypros.com/dynasty and start building your powerhouse Dynasty team.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, another running back for you here, Fitz. And a couple of these guys here, I feel like I've become an apologist for over the last couple of years. I think the next couple guys that I'm going to talk about, maybe two or three guys here. But let's go with Antonio Gibson. I got him at 33 at running back. Right now, his dynasty ECR is 38. He's coming off a tough year. I understand him being a little bit tarnished. I just think he's the better pass catcher. And he's was the number one pass blocking running back in grade from PFF, 75.1. Brian Robinson was 46.9. And I think that grade, specifically with Brian Robinson being so low last season, that Antonio Gibson's going to get on the field more with a first year starter in Sam Howell. So, you know, protect him a little bit more. He can become a nice dump off option as well. Brian Robinson could too. But I think this is a guy that you want to throw him the ball short, get the ball in his hands, and let him make a play. There's a guy that returned kicks and punts, you know, and played wide receiver at Memphis. So I think that in this offense with Sam Howell, you know, you want to give him a couple easy throws. So I think that Gibson should be the feature back here ahead of Brian Robinson. Again, I know, you know, our boy D-Bro and a couple others here talk about Brian Robinson being a Jag. I think Brian Robinson is better than a Jag, right? But he is what he is. He's a first, second down thumper, right? He's a short yardage guy. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, but Gibson is so much better and a better pass blocker. So I think, you know, the worst case scenario with Gibson is he becomes like a JD McKissick type of dump off guy. And if you're in a PPR league, that's still very valuable. So I think as a low end RB3, I'm going to take a gamble on Gibson. I just think he should be given a little bit more respect than what the community is on him, has him on right now.
You're speaking my language, Boggs. I'm a big Antonio Gibson stan. I've got him in a bunch of dynasty leagues. And you kind of said it, like the way this sets up now with no McKissick there. And unfortunately, I think McKissick might have to retire due to injuries, kind of forced out of action here.
Yeah.
But that does set Gibson up to be the primary passing down guy. And I think he's going to, you know, cut into Robinson's early down work too. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, and I've made this point, I think on the show before, Boggs, he is as big, Gibson is as big and as fast as Jonathan Taylor and is a converted college wide receiver. Like that is what you should be aiming for, and had double digit touchdowns his first 2 years in the league. And now like Ron Rivera is like, oh, you know what? We didn't really use Antonio Gibson enough last year. Well, no kidding, man. But I kind of, at the same time, I mean, I kind of get it. Like Antonio Gibson fumbled like half a dozen times in 2021.
Yeah.
So I understand why they were, you know, maybe a little hesitant to give him like a huge role and why they drafted Robinson and used him quite a bit. But at the very least, he should be getting a half share in that backfield. And I don't know if it's going to be a high powered offense with Sam Darnold under center or Sam Howell.
It may not be a lot of difference there.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. And you'd like to think that maybe Sam Howell is dumping off a lot in his first year as a starter. Although we know he's kind of mobile and mobile quarterbacks sometimes like to tuck it away and run rather than dump off. But I am optimistic that Gibson can get, you know, 40 plus receptions in this offense. And yeah, man, I'm enthusiastic about him too. I think he's a good trade target.
If Howell gets smashed a couple times, he'll start dumping off way more. So
very true.
You know, great runner in North Carolina, but there's a difference between North Carolina and the NFL. So get popped a couple times. Where you struggle to get up, you're going to start dumping that ball off a little more. So I'm with you there. Let's stick on the same team, but move to wide receiver here. And whatever the name of this team is going to be in the upcoming year, because I'm sure you saw the trademark stuff to not go through on Commanders, so they may have to be changing again with the new ownership. But another Washington player here, and I love this one too, Fitz.
Yeah, let's get it back to the football team. I like the football team, man. Just good feelings about the Commanders, Washington, whatever we want to call them. Now that Daniel Snyder is selling the team. So, yes, let's move boldly into a new era with Antonio Gibson and Jahan Dotson, Boggs, an early pick in the 2021 draft or 2022 draft. I believe he was 16th overall. And yet there were people taking Sky Moore ahead of him in dynasty rookie drafts last year. What a mistake that was. I mean, granted, we did not get a full rookie season out of Dotson. He played 12 games, but he had 7 touchdowns in those 12 games and 5 top 20 PPR weeks at wide receiver. So this dude is fast. He's a good route runner. He's really competitive on balls in the air for a smaller receiver, Boggs. And this guy's just a really good player and tough after the catch. So Terry McLaurin's there too. And we've got the Sam Howell question. We don't know how he's going to fare in his first year as a starter, but it's a pretty narrow target tree. Not a lot of tight ends worth, throwing to in Washington.
You done with Logan Thomas, really?
Yeah, he's an older guy. He gets hurt a lot.
Me too.
It's basically, I mean, Curtis Samuel is there, but I don't know. I've always thought he was a little overrated, maybe. So it's mainly McLaurin and Dotson and Boggs. I mean, like, I think Dotson is only going to ascend. Like, I don't think he has a wide receiver 1 year in him this year with a new quarterback being broken in. But I think he could get there eventually. Like, I think he could eventually be considered a top 10, top 15 receiver. And in our ECR rankings, like, I mean, he's wide receiver 28. He's behind guys like Jerry Jeudy, Treylon Burks, Terry McLaurin, Brandon Ayuk. I'm not sure I wouldn't rather have Dotson than any of those guys, even McLaurin. And I like McLaurin too, but, you know, Dotson is younger by like, what, 4 years? So, I think Dotson is kind of an undervalued asset right now.
I'll push back on McLaurin because I just think McLaurin is incredible talent. But I think Dotson is way more talented than people gave him credit for coming into the draft. And like you said, going up and getting contested catches, I mean, that's a big thing when you have a first-year starter in Sam Howell. And we're kind of assuming Sam Howell's start here. They have Jacoby Brissett on that team too. So it could easily be. I mean, Jacoby loves to go in and take people's jobs, right? It's just what he does. So it could easily be Jacoby Brissett too. And then you have a better passer, most likely, with the ball in Brissett. So I think that, I think that the answer at quarterback is probably not going to be found this year, but let's have this team be bad and give them Caleb Williams or Drake May next year. And now you have a legit QB in there that is going to spread the ball around. And I'm really excited for Dotson's future. And I think he can become, I don't think he's as good as Terry McLaurin, but I think that he could easily be the T. Higgins to Jamar Chase in this offense. Obviously, they don't have a Joe Burrow right now, but that's why you would buy him now. That's why you'd buy him right now at currently his price is wide receiver 28 on Dynasty ECR. So I think he's a great buy. And still none of these guys come in the NFL is complete. And I think if they don't shine, and he did shine 7 touchdowns, like you said. And how many would he miss 3 games? 7 touchdowns in 13 games.
He missed 5 games. Played 12 games.
12 games. So, that's an outstanding number. Touchdowns are finicky, but he proved himself to get open there. So, and that was with some bad QB play last year as well. So, not that it's going to get much better this year, but he should be better in his second year in the NFL. And I'm also excited about him, Fitz. Love that pick. I'm going to go with Jameson Williams right now. He's going off as wide receiver number 30. I have him at number 17. Once again, a guy that I understand the tarnish. His tape was bad last year, right? He was coming off the ACL injury. He just didn't look right. And then he gets this gambling suspension that makes you kind of question, like, what is this guy doing? St. Brown is going to be the 100 catch guy, right? But Williams is going to be the deep threat option in his only season starting for Alabama. 1,223 of his 1,572 yards came on intermediate or deep targets. He was fourth in intermediate yards in the nation. He was fifth in deep yards in the nation, and he scored 15 touchdowns, which was second. The shine is off of him, and I understand that, but I still think this guy has the potential to be a wide receiver number one in the NFL. And we're just not taking him that seriously right now. So I understand that. But I think the time to buy is right now, because once he gets past the suspension and he gets on the field fully healthy with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, and David Montgomery, all these options that they have in Detroit, he is going to be potentially one of the best ones. And he's not a guy that you're going to have catch 10 balls in a game to put up points for you. He's going to be a boom or bust guy, but he's going to be a guy that if he catches four, he's probably going to break one off for a huge gain and maybe get in the end zone. 15 touchdowns, like I said, playing in the SEC for Alabama. That's, you know, a tough spot to be in. So I really, really still like Jameson Williams. And I think that, you know, the shine's off him a little bit and the opportunity to buy is right now.
Yeah, didn't do a lot last year, but I think he had at least one long catch, and I think he had another one that was called back by a penalty. So, like, we saw, we get a little taste of the big play potential. But yeah, the Lions slow played it with him, and wisely. You know, they didn't have designs on a Super Bowl, so I think it was smart for them to pull back on the reins a little bit. And just a little frustrating with the gambling suspension. I mean, maybe it's a case of out of sight, out of mind with the declining price on him in Dynasty. So, man, I hope that's not the case, though, because, you know, for the people who watched him at Alabama, they know how this dude just crackles with electricity when he's on the field.
Yes.
I mean, he is just a big play waiting to happen, you know, but I just... like, I can't wait to see what it looks like in the NFL. And I just,
yeah,
like, I think it's going to translate, but I'm not 100% sure, Boggs. I do think the buy-in is right, though. So I endorse your selection of him for this show.
That's the gamble. You got to gamble. And right now, like I said, going off at ECR number 30, that's just too low.
It is.
For a guy with this talent, in my opinion. All right, your guy right now, your next guy, Dynasty ECR number 43. I'm curious as to where you have him. Who's your next wideout?
Oh, Boggs, it's Kadarius Toney. And even though right now I'm only connected to most of our listeners through their AirPods, I can feel them rolling their eyes at me right now with this selection. And look, I understand it. He has been extremely fragile so far. In his 2 years, he has dealt with ankle, quad, shoulder, hamstring, and oblique injuries,
knees and toes.
And not one, but two cases of COVID-19 in 2021. Oof. So, but Boggs, I mean, Kadarius Toney has just such freakish athleticism and movement skills. And when he is healthy enough to play, he draws targets at a freaking ridiculous rate. Like, he is a target magnet. Toney has played 445 regular season snaps in his 2 years in the league. And he has drawn 77 targets, which means he's drawn a target on 17.3% of his snaps. And that includes running plays. Like George Pickens, who you and I have jousted over, Pickens had a 15.3% target share last year. Now that's on just passes for Pittsburgh last year. Toney's target rate on all his snaps is 2 percentage points higher, and that's including running plays. So this guy is just... you know, like, he's going to get the ball when he's on the field. And hopefully that's a lot more often this year. Like, the Chiefs just kind of had him in these special packages last year. He came over late in the season. They didn't really have time to fully integrate him into Andy Reid's offense. But now, man, full season of Kadarius Toney as a Chief, a full off season for Andy Reid, the evil genius, to scheme ways up to use Toney. He's going to be getting targets from the most efficient target delivery mechanism in the game, and Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm really excited about what this could look like if, knock wood, Kadarius Toney can stay reasonably healthy for a full season.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with Toney, because the talent is there, right? And by the way, just, I don't know how much you watched of him at Florida, but one of the most fun players I've ever watched.
Another crackle with electricity guy, right?
Yes. And Boggs. Yeah, just a dude electric with the ball in his hands. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I get the risk, but man, now it's really baked in. So like, you're almost baking in the fact that he's going to miss a lot of time due to injuries. If he doesn't, I mean, you can turn just a massive profit on this guy.
And look, you know, we know that Travis Kelce is a number one option, right? Who's number two, though? Because it's not MVS. They brought in Rashee Rice to push him out of his job. Sky Moore was disappointing last season. I mean, is it Pacheco? Definitely. They love to throw the ball. Kadarius Toney might be the number one wide receiver in this offense. Obviously, Kelce is the number one receiver, but he might be the number one wideout in this offense. And we just, somewhere you need to get a piece of the Kansas City offense, whether it's like go all the way down to Watson or Richie James or somebody, like take a stab on someone in the Chiefs offense as well. And know that you're going to get some production. I mean, MVS is a miserable wide receiver and had some good weeks, right? Like, we think Sky Moore can get going too. Like, I just still think that they're missing something since Tyreek left. They won the Super Bowl. They're obviously not missing a lot. You know, they got better on defense as well, but they're still missing just a little something. And I think Tony could be the guy to bring it out of them. So I love this pick as well, Fitz. It's not one that I considered. I do have him a little bit lower than ECR even because I hate injury-prone players. But, I mean, this is – it's a cheap buy. A wide receiver 4 is what you're getting him at now. So that's like a late third, early fourth round pick in a rookie draft. You know, I think if you get outside of the first round, Fitz is way more willing to trade those picks later in rookie drafts. So, yeah, make your move for Kadarius Toney pretty quickly. Speaking of apologist here, I think I have become the Juju Smith-Schuster apologist. You know, just a guy that I'm always going to love him for laying out Vontaze Perfect. But also, I think he's just supremely underrated because he had the enormous season. And yes, is he that good? No, he's not that good. But is he better than a wide receiver number 5? Because he's going off Juju right now, Dynasty ECR 49. In a 12-man league, that's your first wide receiver 5. And he's a number one wide receiver in his offense in the NFL. It is on the Patriots. It is with a subpar quarterback in Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi, whoever it is. But he's going to be the number one target guy on this team. And I think that is probably worth at least a wide receiver number 4, even in a miserable offense. And there are just some wild names, I feel like, going ahead of Juju. I mean, I don't know, Fitz. Are you, how far down on him? Because would you take Juju over Gabe Davis?
Yes, I think those two are
thinking about that.
They're pretty close in my rankings, Boggs, I want to say.
They took Kincaid. Yeah, Gabe Davis is going to shed a lot of production, I feel like. How about you hate Mike Evans, Juju or Mike Evans?
Juju.
Juju or...
Pogs. I don't hate Mike Evans. Come on. I just hate the Mike Evans situation. Come on.
I like Mike Evans more than you do. And he went to A&M. I can't believe it. I also think he won Johnny Manziel a Heisman, but there's a lot more of that. Marvin Mims is one spot ahead of Juju.
Yeah. Like
Marvin Mims hasn't touched an NFL field yet.
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton is ahead of him. I take him over Cortland Sutton. Lockett is ahead of him. He's older. Hopkins is older. Bateman, who we both were down on. You know, a little bit older as well. By the way, I forgot to mention this at the top show. I completely made a mistake. DeAndre Swift traded for a 4th. I don't know why I had it in my brain that he was traded for a 6th. So I apologize for making that mistake. Still don't like DeAndre Swift that much. But, I did make that mistake last week. So meant to clear that up at the top. But Juju, I mean, look, here's his competitions for targets. It's Tyquan Thornton, Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki. Those are the guys that are going to be on the field with him on a snap-to-snap basis here, Fitzy. I mean, I think Juju's going to have another 100-catch season with the Patriots here, even for a team that doesn't throw the ball as a run-first team. And, you know, I think he's going to be right in that range because these other guys just don't get open.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like with them. It is just a like kind of a committee pass-catching approach with the two tight ends, Gesicki and Henry, and, you know, all these different, like maybe Tyquan Thornton breaks out, but I'm not counting on that. Maybe Devontae Parker stays healthy. Yeah, it's going to be a weird situation, Bugs. I think maybe what is holding people back, we have not seen Juju duplicate the success that he had in the first couple of years early in his career. when he was sharing a field with Antonio Brown, who undeniably made some things a little easier for Juju by being that big time threat. And I don't know. I mean, I thought things were pretty.
I'm not thinking of that year, though. Let's go, Fitz, to 2020, right? When he didn't have 1,000 yards receiving. He had 816 or whatever it was, 831, 9 touchdowns. That's the most touchdowns he's had. But he had 97 catches that year. Yes, it's a far cry from 111 for 1,426 and 7 touchdowns. But I think 95 to 100 catches with 1,000, 1,100 yards and a handful of scores, that's better than wide receiver 49, right?
Yeah. I mean, like the door is open for him to have another big role. But I thought it was kind of open last year. Like, maybe 100 catch season was not in play when you're on a team with Travis Kelce, but I maybe expected a little more from Juju last year. I just don't know. I think there's a limited ceiling now, Boggs. That's the issue. But I think the floor is pretty sturdy with Juju, and he's still reasonably young. He came into the league so young. That's the nice thing.
He's like 11.
Yeah, it feels like he's 30 years old now, but he's like, what, 26? So
26. Yeah. Yeah. 26. He'll be 27 in November. So still well under 30, well-traveled guy. I just think he's going to become, you know, whoever the quarterback's there, number one target. And this is another team that, because they miss with N'Keal Harry, you're probably looking at trades or later round picks in the wide receiver room for competition for him in New England. So
well, and we know they're
still high.
And we know they don't know what they're doing when it comes to drafting wide receivers, and haven't for years. So
right. Exactly. Yeah, we know they're not going to make those early picks on him. So before we get to another wide receiver here, I got to tell you guys to subscribe to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel and comment below on this video, because when you do, you could win a free FREE upgrade to Fantasy Pros Premium. Whether you're looking for custom mock drafts, salary cap tools, or in-depth analysis of your fantasy performance, Fantasy Pros Premium has the tools to help you win. Unlock the most powerful fantasy tools in the industry. Don't want to wait for the giveaway. Sign up today at fantasypros.com/premium and start playing smarter, not harder. I'm going to jump in with another one here, Fitzy, because I have one less player than you. And this is my Jalen Hyatt love. Jalen Hyatt currently Dynasty ECR of 57. I have him at 43. And yes, it was only 1 year of production for Hyatt at Tennessee. But to me, he has almost unmatchable speed. I know, I mean, it's hyperbole, of course, but Hendon Hooker just said, you know, I think you have a faster guy than Tyreek Hill. I don't think anybody's faster than Tyreek Hill, but that's the level of speed we're talking about. Tyreek Hill competitiveness here, right? And last season at Tennessee, he was top 20 in yards after the catch, top 10 in yards per route run, second in touchdowns in the country with 15. The Giants don't have anyone to dominate passes right now, as we talked about earlier with Danny Dimes. And I've said this before, I can't wait to see just, you know, the deep route from Hyatt, the underneath from Waller, you know, the intermediate and the underneath from Saquon. So that middle of the field for the Giants on a play like that, I think it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to not find somebody open there for Daniel Jones. So I'm excited about what he potentially brings to this offense. And, you know, he's dripping with potential. So if you can get him as a late wide receiver 5 right now, I think that's a good deal. And I do think that, you know, when we start to see some preseason highlights and some training camp highlights and stuff, he's going to start moving up and up draft boards. So right now, I think if someone has drafted him, you're working a trade. Maybe you can get him as a kick in because his value is so low. Maybe you can get him for a late pick next year or whatever it is. Jalen Hyatt is a guy that I'm going to have a bunch of shares of.
Yeah. I mean, not one of my favorite wide receivers in this class, but either he is a one trick pony. And if he is, boy, that trick it's still one heck of a trick. I mean, this dude can absolutely fly, or he's more well-rounded than at least I'm giving him credit for. In which case, he's absolutely undervalued at this price.
And he's probably not more well-rounded, but he comes into the league and, you know, you're not a finished project. You're not a finished product. Come in, get some refinement, become a better player. And now you're, you know, with that speed, that's a tool that you can't teach. So I'm excited about it. We'll move a little quicker on the last couple ones, stand out before an hour here. But who do you got up next here, Fitzy?
Alec Pierce, who right now I think is Dynasty ECR is wide receiver 61. And I heard Matt Harmon of Yahoo, the reception perception guy talking about this. Like George Pickens and Alec Pierce, not totally dissimilar profiles. Pickens' ECR is wide receiver 32, Pierce is wide receiver 61. And I mean, Pierce is 6'3, 208 pounds with 4.4 speed. And his average depth of target as a rookie was 11.7 yards. This is a vertical receiver. Well, Anthony Richardson could be really good for Pierce for a couple of reasons. One is that Richardson has a big arm. So I think he is going to like letting that arm out. And it's like they've got the slot guy in Josh Downs. They've got sort of the middle of the field, mid-range guy in Michael Pittman. And then like they've got the field stretcher in Pierce. And the other thing about it, with the running threat that Anthony Richardson poses, not to mention that the running threat Jonathan Taylor poses, you're not going to see safeties playing back 20 yards off the line of scrimmage against the Colts. Like they're going to be cheating up, and that's going to make it easier for Alec Pierce to do business downfield. So like I'm excited about how he could possibly fit with Anthony Richardson.
I like the comp with George Pickens, Fitzy. I love it because it's kind of a like, you know, have you ever seen that book, Eat This, Not That? It'll like be, what do you like to eat? We'll eat this instead. That's kind of what this is. It's like, we know you like George Pickens, right? But you can get this guy for, you know, 6-7 rounds later. He's basically free right now, and he has the same type of skill set. He didn't make those highlight catches, which is why, and he's not as weird and eccentric as Pickens, which is why Pickens is higher. But I love this pick, especially as you mentioned with Richardson having the huge arm. So I really like that one. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, Pickens is definitely like, I don't think Pierce has that special contested catch ability that Pickens has, but Pierce might also be a better separator because we know Pickens has kind of struggled in that category so far.
Sure. And both these guys, once again, young, unfinished products, still a lot of room to grow. So love it for both of them. Speaking of unfinished products, let's go to John Metchie, my wide receiver 48. I wanted to make him at least as a bottom end wide receiver number 4. Right now, his ECR is 71 among, you know, wide receivers. And I understand people will take him off the board all because of the leukemia. And I get it, right? Like, you know, he could be injury prone. He could not be very good. And look, at Alabama, he also had Devontae Smith in his Heisman year next to him and Jameson Williams in his year as the big dog next to him as well. But I think that he helped both those guys and both those guys helped him. You look at Houston, you got a brand new quarterback, and who is going to be the number one target guy here? Is it going to be Schultz for sure? Because you have the ghost of Robert Woods in there. Nico Collins is good, but and maybe he's the main guy, but I think John Metchie has a chance to be the number one wide receiver here. They waited to take Tank Dell. I think everybody's going to be on the field here for Houston, but I think Metchie has a real shot to earn his way as the Texans' number one wide receiver, and he is free right now. He's a free agent pickup in most leagues, and, you know, in deeper leagues, he's a late, late pick. Like I said, wide receiver 71 on boards right now, so I'm all over getting John Metchie for free right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Boggs. We're going to have a kind of interesting test case in baseball here with Liam Hendricks, the White Sox closer, coming back from a bout with cancer. And, I'm interested to see how that goes. Not that like, you know, he and Metchie have like exactly the same situations or anything, but, it'll be interesting to see how close to the old Liam Hendricks he is when he comes back, because he was pretty dominant.
James Conner went through it too.
Yeah, very true. And he came back as good as new. So I think you're probably right. And it's another case of out of sight, out of mind, as it is with his, former running mate at Alabama, Jameson Williams. So it'll be nice to have both of those guys right on an NFL field this year.
Just free too. I mean, that was really the main point, was this guy is free right now.
Yeah.
Put up a couple of highlight reel catches in the preseason, and he's not going to be. So, but you have the last two players here, Fitzy. Who do you got?
Yeah, and I can go through these guys pretty quickly, Boggs. One is Khalil Shakir, also very cheap. I think he's going to be the Bills' slot guy this year. They do not have Isaiah McKenzie anymore. They did bring in Deontay Hardy, but Deontay Hardy is 5'6", And I really think he's just going to be a kick return guy and a gadget guy. And, you know, they did bring in Cole Beasley again late last year. And I know Beasley has expressed interest in coming back this year, but he's 34, man. And, you know, I just don't know exactly.
Pass.
And I think Shakir is just better than those guys. And, you know, one thing Shakir did really well and better than any other rookie wide receiver last year was get open against man coverage. And according to PFF, Shakir's separation rate against man coverage, 48.6%. So that did lead all rookie receivers. And if he can just become that effective or nearly that effective against zone, he's going to be really good. And I just love this guy when he was at Boise State, Boggs. So competitive and really, really special after the catch. Like, you know, not necessarily that fast, but just like so determined to get yardage after the catch. And for some real Bill synergy, Boggs, he's been working with Eric Moulds in the offseason. I loved seeing that for
there
some reason,
go.
Man. That's just really cool. So I'm in on Shakir, who is very cheap, by the way. My final guy, we'll wrap it up with Jelani Woods, who is, you know, talk about an athletic specimen. This dude is 6'7", has the wingspan of a pterodactyl, and man, 4.61 speed. Like that size and, you know, that kind of movement ability. And we saw like little flashes of it last year. He had a 2-touchdown game against the Chiefs and Boggs, he had an 8-catch, 93-yard game against your Pittsburgh Steelers last year. So he's he's pretty clearly the tight end one for Indy. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he's going to do this year.
I wrote up tight ends in the Black Book. Also a very big fan of Jelani Woods. I think that extremely underrated right now. And Shakir, I know our boy Erickson loves Deontay Hardy because they gave Bills gave him a little money.
Dude, he's 5'6",
so Hardy
man.
Is going to be that first slot option.
No.
But look, Shakir is free right now. Wide receiver 83 on the board, lower than Mechie that we were talking about. I think that both these guys are great buys, especially Woods. But, I mean, throw a dart on Shakir. You probably pick him up for free on a lot of wires right now. So that is going to wrap it up. We hope you guys enjoyed our undervalued players. Who do you think is undervalued? Who did we miss on? Let us know in the comments. We appreciate you guys. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports for myself, at Fitz underscore FF for Fitzy. And we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.